Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour continuing series, later two episodes of The Adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim, also the conclusion of the 13-part story Frankenstein, but first we wrap the 13-part story of the Deerslayer, syndicated in 1932.
You are about to hear another episode of The Deerslayer, dramatized and directed by Charles Frederick Lindsley.
While Hutter and his family were in the Ark, skirting the shore of the lake, looking for Deerslayer, who is a prisoner in the enemy camp, the Iroquois entered Muskrat Castle and laid an ambush for the returning family. A desperate fight was waged, in which Hutter lost his life. But Harry March escaped by rolling off the platform into the water, where he was rescued by Chingachgook and the girls who had remained aboard the Ark. The situation is a critical one, and Judith tells March that there is but one way of escape for them. He must take to the woods and try to bring the soldiers from the garrison to their assistance. In the meantime, Deerslayer had managed to escape from his captors. After a long chase through the woods, he reached the lake and pushed off in a canoe from which the paddle had been removed. He tried to drift away from the shore, but the wind was against him, and he suddenly found himself again in the clutches of his pursuers.
Come, my young friend, him sail about until him tired. Him forget how must use legs.
You've the best of it, Huron. I am your prisoner again. But it's a good thing your brave took the paddle out of this canoe or you'd never see me again.
My young friend, him moose. Legs much long. Give my young men lot trouble. Now him try be fish.
Why didn't you shoot me?
Fish taken nets, not killed by bullets. When him turn moose, Huron shoot.
Well, I'm your captive again. Work your will on me.
Has my brother seen enough to make him change mind and hear reason?
Speak out, Huron. Something is in your thoughts, and the sooner it's said, the sooner you'll get my answer.
Good. Paleface eyes not shut now. My brother him have killed two Huron braves, one husband, other him brother of squaw Sumac. Sumac now all alone. No one to hunt for her, fill lodge with venison. You great hunter, you make Sumac your squaw, live with Huron.
I have heard of men saving their lives in this way, but I'm white, and it goes against my nature. No, Chief, I prefer death to such captivity.
Paleface, think of this while my people make counsel. Tomahawks and Big Fire make Paleface brother talk. Me go. Name of Deerslayer will be called.
God's will be done on earth as in heaven. I did hope my days would not number so soon. But it matters little after all. A few more winters and a few more summers, and it would have been over. The young and active seldom think death possible till it grins in their faces and tells them the hour has come.
Deerslayer.
Hetty, what are you doing here? Are you a prisoner, too?
I'm no prisoner, Deerslayer, but a free girl. The Indians will not hurt me.
But they're all around us here in the woods. Even the women and children are on the lookout.
I came here alone, as I've often done, and I'm not afraid. Oh, Deerslayer, do you know what has happened at the castle?
No. Is everyone safe? Is Hutter...
Father is dead.
Dead?
The Hurons managed to get inside the castle by cutting a hole in the roof.
But the rest of you...
When the fight began, we pushed away on the Ark.
And Hurry?
Hurry's gone ashore. He's on his way to the garrison to bring the soldiers.
Ah, it's a long chance, gal. It may be a week before he can bring help. You must go back to the Ark and tell Chingachgook to take the trail when it's dark and strike for the Delaware camp.
Shh. Here comes the chief.
The council has had their talk, I guess. And they're ready for the sacrifice. As soon as you can, slip away and deliver my message.
Killer of the deer, my people make decision.
So it looks.
Tomahawk sharp, fire soon ready.
Oh, you must not hurt Deerslayer. God will be angry.
Paleface him kill two Huron. God already angry.
Let me show you what the Bible says. Love your enemy.
No time to hear.
It's no use, Hetty. My hour has come, and what must be must. If you're bent on torture, Mingo, I'll do my endeavors to bear up against it.
No, Huron will see a pale-faced Delaware woman dressed in skin of Yankee.
Have your say, Chief. But talking can't make knives sharper or fire hotter. I'm ready. Tie me up.
When Deerslayer and feel that the knives of the warriors, him will change mind and live with Huron.
I'm already given my answer to that, and I'll not change my mind. But isn't this tree too small? Can your braves hit a sapling like this?
Paleface will see.
All ready, Mingos. Throw away or your tomahawk will forget its harness. Ah, that's no good, Big Moose. Give your brother a chance now. Come on, Catamount. Stop your looping about like a fawn. Them silly antics. Ah, that's closer, but you only clipped my hair that time. See if you can't touch the scalp now. Maybe your squaws are handier with them hatchets. Come up closer. Take more time. Get a better aim. It's your turn, Bowling Boy. Don't miss, or the Huron gals will laugh in your face. Ah, pretty close, Redskin, pretty close. But it'll take a long time to shave my head that way. I'll hold still this time and give you a chance. Send out your best marksman, River Oak, or the sun will fall before you get to the end of this.
Oh, killer of the deer, him brave. He no Delaware squaw. Maybe he changed mind. Stay with Huron. Be great hunter. Chief, maybe.
Go on with your deviltry. I have no desire to betray my white native by trifling with your flattery.
My warriors now try rifles.
Let them begin. A rifle is more merciful than a stone hatchet. And maybe they'll have better aim with white man's weapons. But come closer, Mingoes. You'll never hit it 50 paces. Ah, you may call this shooting, Mingoes, but I've known Dutch gals on the Mohawk that could outdo you. Undo these arms of mine. Put a rifle in my hands, and I'll pin the thinnest warlock in your party to any tree you can show me at 100 yards or 200.
Oh, stop, stop. Don't torture Deerslayer. He's not your enemy. Deerslayer is Judy.
Judith, why are you here?
Which is the chief, Deerslayer? I have an important message for him.
Rivenoak, chief. Rivenoak, him speak English. Let Flower of Woods speak.
Look at me, Huron. You can see I'm no common woman.
My daughter, handsome as wild rose.
Listen, the English have young men as well as the Hurons.
Yengees plenty as leaves on trees.
Yes. Suppose I'd brought a party with me. There would have been a great fight, and the trail of the Iroquois would have been marked with blood.
Much blood already on trail. All Huron blood.
No doubt. And more Huron blood would have been spilt if I had come with pale faces. Rivenoak loves little animals made of ivory. I have brought some with me. Take them and start for your village. Leave Deerslayer with me. And see, here's a two-barreled rifle.
Let daughter keep two-tailed dog. Can eat when venison is scarce. Deerslayer cannot quit the young men now.
It'll not do, Judith. You thought that fine dress would make him think you a queen. But Rivenoak is an uncommon man. You should have stayed in the ark.
Anything to gain time, Deerslayer. Your friends are not idle.
Stand back, Judith, and wait. The devils are going to try fire now.
Killer of the deer has been brave. No afraid of knives or tomahawks. Huron, I'll see if he'd like to taste fire.
I've never been tested this way before, chief. But you'll find me ready for your punishment.
Oh, why do you torment Deerslayer? He's your friend. When Father and Hurry Harry came after your scalps, he refused to be one of the party. He stayed in the canoe by himself.
My daughter, welcome to speak. Huron, glad to hear a voice. Great spirit often speak with such tongue. This time her eyes not wide open. Two of Huron warriors fall by blows of Paleface. Go sit by Sumac. Now, young Paleface brother, Rivenoak, see if you kill with stout heart or by treachery like a leaping panther. Soon the fire be up to mouth.
This is my end, Mingo. But you'll see what a white man can do when called on to stand at the stake.
Now, my brother boast.
No. I may be unfortunate in your prisoner, but I'm no boaster.
Stop! You shall not kill him this way.
Oh, stop! Seize this pale-faced girl! Tie her to trees!
Listen, Rivenoak, listen! What do you hear?
Huh?
It's the soldiers! I warned you! Now it's too late! Quick, Deerslayer! While I cut these ropes! They've come in time!
It was not a minute too soon, Judith. I didn't hope for such a miracle. How could the soldiers get here so soon?
Harry must have met them on the way to the garrison.
Where's Chingachgook and Hist?
Teddy and I left them on the Ark. He'll probably join us as soon as he hears these rifles.
Who's this, Judith?
It's Captain Wally from the fort.
Well, it looks like we arrived in the nick of time, Judith. Is this the young man your messenger told us about?
This is Deerslayer, Captain Wally. And you did arrive in time. The Bingoes had hardly lighted the fire. Did Hurry Harry come back with you?
He's in Canada by this time. He seemed in a hurry to get as far away as he could.
Yes, Harry is well named.
I suppose you'll all return to the garrison with us?
I came to this lake with a Delaware friend to rendezvous his sweetheart. And now that this affair with the Mingoes is over, I shall return with him to his village.
I know it's no use to argue with you, Deerslayer. You love the woods and the life of the wilderness. You would not be happy in the towns of the whites.
That's right, Judith. More than that, this war with the Iroquois is just beginning. There'll be need of my services for many months. And maybe years to come.
But when this bloody business is all over, maybe you will return to this spot.
I know no place more beautiful than Glimmerglass. But I cannot foresee the time when I can settle to the peace and quiet of such a retreat. No, Judith, my years are young. The frontier with all its peril is my home. You will go to the garrison for the time. I shall go with Chingachgook and his betrothed.
But it may not be long before we meet again. I thank you, friend, from the depth of my heart for all your kindness and your courage.
Where is the Ark?
I'm sure it's at hand. You'll go with us to the castle until our plans can be made.
Yes. But tomorrow's sun will see Chingachgook on his way home.
And you?
I shall go too, Judith. But it will not be long till I will be at the garrisons to act as guide for some party through these dangerous woods. And we may meet again.
What's that?
It's Chingachgook calling from the Ark. Come. Let us go.
The Deer Slayer, on Tuned to Yesterday, a syndicated recording from 1932, based on the work by James Fenimore Cooper. In this hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday, we continue with the conclusion of Frankenstein, brought to audiences by the George Edwards Players on radio in 1931.
We now present George Edwards in Frankenstein.
Objected to the presence of Baron Frankenstein on board. But Captain Walton addressed his crew and informed them that the Baron was his guest. Then, to the surprise of everyone, Baron Frankenstein tottered up onto deck. He was weak and ill, and he supported himself with difficulty. He informed Captain Walton that he intended to leave the ship immediately.
Frankenstein, I cannot allow you to go ashore.
This is no affair of yours, Captain Walton. You dare not keep me here against my will. Besides which, your crew do not desire to have me aboard the vessel.
The crew will obey my orders. I have a duty to do. I cannot send a man to certain death.
Captain Walton, I appreciate your feelings, and I thank you for your friendship and for all that you have done for me. Do you not realize that life for me is over? I created a monster, and that monster has gradually destroyed me, torn down the structure which surrounded me, killed my friends, my loved ones, made me an outcast. I live only for one thing, to witness the death of the monster. If you take me back to civilization against my will, you will be condemning me to torture, knowing that all men hate and despise me because of the crime which I committed. I am already destroyed, although there is life in my body. And that life cannot be extinguished. It must not be extinguished until my creation has been destroyed. Now, I beg of you, let me go. We shall not meet again.
Very well, Baron Frankenstein. The choice is yours. You may leave this ship. There is still ice for you to walk across. I will have a rope ladder lowered at once. But I shall always feel it on my conscience that I deserted you, left you here to perish in the white wastes of the North.
For me, death will be a merciful release. So go, Captain. And when you return to England, you may publish the notes in your journal so that all may know that it is folly, that it is a grave sin to usurp the rights of God. I have suffered as men have seldom suffered. And when the monster dies, then shall I make atonement. To the members of your crew, I also say farewell. I am glad that none of them has suffered because of my misdeeds. Now I must...
He's collapsed.
I knew he had not the strength. I knew he should not have come on deck.
What shall we do, Captain Walton?
We cannot put him ashore in his present state, and yet we cannot remain here. The vessel must go on. I hardly know what to do.
I think Baron Frankenstein is trying to speak.
I am to be cheated of my vengeance. I know it. I feel for the first time the icy clutch of death. Come close to me, Captain Walton, and hear what I say.
What is it, Baron Frankenstein?
Should you see the monster again, bid your men to fire and shoot to kill.
I promise you I will do that. But we may never see the monster again.
I must not die, leaving him alive, leaving him to wander the earth. It is not fair. Oh, this is indeed my greatest punishment.
But you may not die. Let me give orders that you are to be carried down to the cabin. There we will seek to revive you.
Oh, it is too late for that. Even now, all grows dim. Oh, God, forgive me for the great sin which was mine. Let no others be punished because of my folly and my pride. I have suffered because of my ambition, and I have paid the penalty. I go now to join my beloved Elizabeth, my friends, and I beg thy forgiveness. O Lord, that which I created has destroyed me. Now I go to my Creator, hoping for his abundant mercy.
Is there anything we can do for you, Baron Frankenstein?
Nothing, Captain Walton, save to keep a close watch for the monster. I commend my soul to God, and I beg that you consign my body to the dark black waters. That is the only favor I ask. I am coming, Elizabeth. All these long and weary months have passed, and soon we shall meet again. Oh, Elizabeth, my loved one, I long to be with you. Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
Uncover your heads, men. Baron Frankenstein has passed away. May God receive his soul.
Will you carry out his last wishes, Captain? Is his body to be consigned to the sea?
His body shall be consigned to the sea, and my journal shall tell of the horrors and the suffering which he underwent.
Look, there, coming across the ice.
The monster! Be ready with your pistols, men.
He approaches the ship. See how he leaps across the ice. I am afraid.
Show no fear. We are ready to deal with him.
He is leading the rope ladder. Shall we fire?
Wait! Do not fire until I give the order.
He is coming aboard.
Wait until I give the word to fire.
My master, my creator, what ails him? Let me speak with him.
Foul monster, Baron Frankenstein is dead, destroyed by your hatred and vice. Now you shall die. Fire, men!
You would destroy me. The blood pours from my wounds. But I still have life. Let me look on the body of Frankenstein.
Shall we fire again, Captain?
No, wait.
Frankenstein, you are dead. Victim of my hatred. Victim of your own selfishness. Oh, Frankenstein, I am filled with remorse. And yet soon I am to die. They have dealt me mortal wounds. Frankenstein, my creator, I mourn for you.
You say you mourn for him, and yet you drove him to his death. Your diabolical vengeance destroyed your creator.
Think you that I do not deserve your sympathy? I swear that after the murder of Clerval, I was heartbroken and overcome. I pitied Frankenstein and hated myself. But I discovered that he still sought for happiness, while I, his creature, could live on in misery and loneliness. Men have forced me to murder. Loneliness has made me bitter. And now he who gave me life is dead. I swear I was not born to hate, but men turned from me, and my creator would not aid me.
He offered you death?
Does any man seek death while he may yet find happiness in life?
Frankenstein welcomed death. He sought only to live so that he might destroy you.
There lies my creator, white and cold and dead. You hate me. All men hate me. But your hatred cannot equal that which I regard myself. I once sought the friendship of Frankenstein. Should there not be friendship between the creator and his creature? But because he is dead, so shall I die. Bid your men not to fire on me again. You can see that I am mortally wounded. Tell me, what was Frankenstein's last wish?
His last wish was that his remains should be consigned to the sea.
His last wish shall be carried out, and I shall carry it out. Look you over the side of the vessel. See you not that deep black pool of water? that shall be the grave of Frankenstein and his creature. With my last remaining strength, I raise his body in my arms, and creator and creature will lie in cold death together beneath the dark, unfriendly ocean.
He has taken the body, Captain. Shall we shoot him?
No, he is soon to die. Let us watch.
I am about to leave this world, and you are the last of humankind who will ever behold me. Even now you shrink from me with horror and loathing, and he whom I hold in my arms gave me this hideous form, condemned me to a life of loneliness, yet he was my creator, and instead of loving his creature, he hated him, sought to destroy him. So I sought vengeance on all men. I turned against him who had given me life. Let every man learn of this story. Tell them the truth. Tell them that the hideous, diabolical monster from which whom all men turn had feelings just as other creatures. And by those feelings, so was he forced to wickedness and crime. Frankenstein, my master, that which you created is now to be destroyed. With faltering strength, I carry you to your last cold, unfriendly resting place.
Let us kill him, Captain Walton.
No. He goes to his death of his own free will, and now in some strange way I feel sorry for this monster. He has excited my pity.
I will not live. But Frankenstein goes with me where I go. I led him across the world, the creator following his creature. Still I am suffering. Still I know remorse because Frankenstein is dead. But I know the suffering which I feel now will soon be ended. Watch and rest assured that I die. Come, Frankenstein. I hold your cold body fast. As I destroyed you, thus will I destroy myself. Nevermore will man learn the secret of how to create man. Farewell, all mankind. Frankenstein and his creature now vanish forever from mortal ken. I have barely the strength to climb over the rail, bearing my burden, but I must die. We go now, Frankenstein, to know only peace and blissful freedom from suffering. Look on us, Captain. Let your men look on us. No other shall ever behold us. I go now with my creator.
Frankenstein, Untuned to Yesterday, the conclusion of a 13-part series from 1931. This is an hour of continuing series Untuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now, back-to-back broadcasts of a very strange, yet at the time made a lot of sense, series, The Adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim, both regulars in the comic strips, part of the Sunday Hearst newspapers, and a three-part radio show bringing the two characters who were already on radio together for a three-part story. We'll hear the last two parts in this series called The Adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim, the first from October 19th, 1935.
Presenting the adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim. Last week, after Queen Azura had declared Flash Gordon to be king of Blue Magic Land, she and Flash, Dale and Zarkov started for her palace to make the formal proclamation. In the meantime, news was brought to Tall that Queen Azura was alive, having been saved by Flash Gordon. Tall swore he would kill her. As he started to meet Azura, pistol in hand, he was killed by the Black Lancer who brought the news. After Flash was proclaimed king, he and Dale and Zarkov built a spaceship and started to survey the kingdom. Suddenly, the ship began to fall. Zarkov calculated they were heading straight for the Earth, but he didn't have any idea just where they would land. These thrilling adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim are pictured each Sunday in the Big Comic Weekly, the world's greatest pictorial supplement of humor and adventure. The Comic Weekly, each page printed in full colors, is distributed everywhere as an integral part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The spaceship containing Dr. Zarkov, Flash, and Dale is falling away from the planet Mongo towards the Earth. But let's leave them for a moment. Come now with us to an island in the South Seas, down among the jungles of Malaysia. Two figures standing among the waving palms. One is a tall young white man dressed in khaki with a tropical sun helmet and a cartridge belt, an automatic .45 slung from his waist. He is Jungle Jim, beloved friend of all good men, no matter what their race or color may be. He stands wiping his perspiring brow as he talks to a powerful-looking native who is dressed only in a loincloth and a red turban.
Well, Cole, we're free again.
Yes, Master Jim. Bad white man almost killed us off for sure. We lucky be alive.
I'll say we are. I've been in some tough spots since I came down here in these jungles. But that encounter with that black snake Romney beats them all.
No good thing to be buried in ground to neck for ants to eat.
You said it, Kolo. Burying us up to our necks and pouring molasses over our heads to attract the ants was one dirty trick. It's a darn good thing that native boy saved us and gave us these guns.
Yes, Master Jim. Bad white man no hurt us anymore.
No, Kolo.
What do we do now, Master Jim?
We'd better be getting back to our own camp.
No have boat, Master Jim.
Well, let's look around. Romney must have a canoe someplace around here. Search that brushwood, Kolo. I'll look in these palms.
Yes, Master. Kolo, look, see.
Of course, if we can't find the canoe, we'll have to hike it. Find anything, Kolo?
No sea boat here.
Try over that way more, Kolo. Near the river.
Yes, Master. Kolo, look, see.
I'm sure he must have hidden one around here. No sign of it, Kolo?
No sea, Master Jim.
I can't find any trace of it here either. I guess it must be... Kolo!
Huh?
I found it. Come quick. Here's Romney's canoe.
Coming, Master.
And he even left paddles in it.
Good you find boat, Master. Better for us leave this place right now.
You're right, Kolo. Here, grab hold of one end. And that's it. Now heave. We'll carry it to the river. All right, Kolo. Let go. Get in the bow. That's right. I'll shove us off. You help with the paddle.
Yeah.
Now we're off, and goodbye to this place.
All quiet here. No Tuan around here.
No. It doesn't look like there's anybody around here, Kolo.
No Tuan bother us now, Master Jim.
That's right. Nobody will bother us for a while. Pat a little harder, Kolo. I'm going around the bend. What's that?
Wild cat, Master.
Kolo, look, a white man near the shore. The wildcat has put him off from his camp.
White Tuan see us, Master.
Help! Help! We're coming! Don't move! Whatever you do, don't move! Paddle! Paddle, Kolo, paddle! Now, hold it steady, Kolo. I'll get a beat on the cat.
Good shot. I say... Thank you.
Pull in the shore, Kolo. Don't try. Glad I happened along.
Let me give you a hand.
Oh, thanks. You were in a tight spot, sir.
Bless my soul, I should say I was. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Chalmers, the Reverend Manly Chalmers.
Pleased to meet you, Reverend Chalmers. I'm called Jungle Jim in these parts, and this is Kolo.
Delighted to know you both, I'm sure. Come and meet my wife. We pitch camp up there for the night. We're on our way to our new mission.
Mission? You work for one big fellow master on top in the sky?
Yes, my friend. I am engaged in the work of God. But where did you learn of him? From Mr. Jim here?
Yes, Tuan. Also from other mission Tuans. Hear all about when die. Go on top along, good fellow master.
Kolo is a good boy, Reverend.
I'm sure he is. By the way, have you had your dinner?
Well, no.
Then you must come and have some with us. I've just come down to the river for some water when that wild cat sprang out from the bush and cornered me. I'll get the water now.
Manly! Manly! What happened?
Quite all right, my dear. No cause for alarm. Oh. This young man just shot a cat.
Oh, I was so frightened when I heard the shot. I was afraid you'd run into bandits.
Mary, my dear, allow me to present Uncle Jim.
Oh, how do you do?
Pleased to meet you, ma'am.
And this is Kolo.
Kolo?
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank goodness it wasn't anything more serious than the shooting of a cat.
Yes, my dear. I've invited Jungle Jim to have dinner with us.
Why, of course. Come right on up to camp.
Oh, thanks, ma'am. Akolu.
Yes, Master.
Pull the canoe well up on shore.
Yes, Master Jim.
Lonely bit of a place to have darkness overtake you, isn't it?
Yes, Reverend. But Akolu and I know our way around here pretty much. You're a stranger hereabouts.
Yes.
That makes a difference.
All the difference between being safe and being attacked by heaven knows what.
I've my motorboat moored in that little cove around there. And Mrs. Chalmers feels better sleeping on the land, so whenever night is coming on, we stop and pitch camp.
Are you a trader, young man?
No, not exactly, ma'am. I came down here originally to capture wild animals and train them for circuses.
Oh?
And then the first thing I knew, I was getting into one adventure after another.
I see your point. You're an adventurer.
Well, in a manner of speaking, but not the way you mean, sir. Oh. I try to right wrongs, not make them.
Yes, yes, of course, of course. There are adventurers and adventurers, my dear chap.
Well, for instance, there was a man named Dirk Romney who called himself Hawk Brutus.
Was? Is he dead?
Yes, ma'am, he's dead. He died very suddenly. Well, as I was saying, this Hawk Brutus was chief of a band of river pirates. Mm. He was the black sheep of a good English family.
Oh.
You may have heard of his brother, Craig Romney, Reverend.
Craig Romney? Yes, indeed. Well-known explorer. Died someplace down here, I believe.
Yes, I buried him.
Indeed.
He was murdered by his brother, Dirk.
Oh.
And his wife and baby were kidnapped by the pirates.
How? Oh.
They held me up as I was starting out in my canoe. I was unable to rescue the woman because they threatened to throw her and the baby overboard unless I surrendered.
What?
At that time, I had no idea who she was.
How did you find out?
As the big war canoe came near me, I saw the young woman put the baby's nursing bottle into the water. After they left, I got it and found a note inside telling me her name.
I say, but how did you find her husband?
I figured it out. The woman's clothes were crisp and fresh-looking, so her camp couldn't have been far away.
Very clever.
I noticed the direction from which the war canoe came, went that way, and soon found the Romney camp.
And the young woman's husband was dead?
Yes, ma'am. And so were his two assistants.
Oh, my.
Well, I buried them and raised two wooden crosses over the graves to mark the spot.
Ah.
I'll show you where they are, Reverend. Your people back in England may be interested.
Indeed they will. Thank you. I'll see that the bodies are taken back home.
But how did you know the brother had committed the crimes, young man?
Well, ma'am, I found Craig Romney's diary in which he said there was only one man in the world he feared, his brother.
By Jove, why, this is like a mystery story, isn't it, Mary?
Yes, indeed.
How did you locate the missing brother?
By accident. That night, as I slept by my campfire, the diary was stolen from my kit bag. In the morning, I saw imprints of bare feet in the sand. I followed and came upon a sprawled body.
Of the other Romney?
No, it was a native. With his dying hand, he managed to scrawl in the sand the statement that he had stolen a book from Hawk Brutus. And Bruder, when he got it, shot him down.
Oh.
Ghastly.
Well, I figured that book was only of vital interest to one man.
To Craig Romney's brother?
Exactly. I trailed his Hawk Bruder, but got captured by him.
But how did you escape?
The brother of a native Bruder killed in cold blood saved us and brought us revolvers. When he took us to where Bruder was, Bruder made a move to shoot me, but my hand was quicker than his.
Yes, yes, we understand.
Oh, thanks, Reverend. Well, Polo and I were starting back...
What's that?
What is it,
Master, come quick. Something fall out from sky. Big silver bird without wings.
What does he mean?
I don't know, ma'am. What are you talking about, Kolo?
Come quick, Master Jim. Kolo show you where big silver bird land with big noise.
Kolo must have seen what caused that crash a moment ago. Show us, Kolo, quickly now.
It sounds like an airplane, but I didn't hear its engine.
Look over there in bushes.
Why, what can it be?
Bless my soul, I never saw such an odd machine.
It's some kind of airplane. There must be somebody in it. Come along, Reverend.
Certainly, I'm right with you. But where could it have come from?
Well, that's what we'll find out in a minute. If anyone's left alive to tell us. Hurry, Cole.
Yes, sir.
Hurry, Reverend.
I say, it is some kind of an airship.
And there are three people in it. Let's get them out. Stand back, sir. I'll break the window with my revolver butt.
What? Whatever sort of costumes are they wearing? I never saw anything like them.
Well, never mind that. Let's get them out. The girl first.
Right.
She's still breathing. Now, easy now.
Easy?
Come on up. Lay her down here while we pull the other two out. Come on, Polo. Give me a hand.
Oh, a girl. A girl. Is she hurt?
Yes, attend to her, Mary. Yes, there are two others that we must look
easy,
after.
Easy, Polo. Easy now. That's it now. Look.
Oh.
Look, this one's coming too. She'll be all right in a minute. Get the other fellow, Kolo.
Yes,
Mother. Dale. Flash. Where are you?
They speak English.
Well, who can they be?
This fellow, Master. He opening eyes.
Dale. I all right?
Take it easy, old man. Everybody's all right. But you've had a nasty crack-up. Who are you?
I'm Flash Gordon. Where's my fiancée, Dale Arden?
My wife is attending to her. She'll be all right soon.
Who are you?
We
Where are we?
I'm Jungle Jim, and this is the Reverend and Mrs. Chalmers.
Yes, sir.
My boy Cole, who saw you crash and brought us here. You're in the Malay jungle. Where are you from?
Mongo.
Mongo?
The girl is asking for someone by the name of Flash.
Oh, Dale. Darling, I'm here. Are you all right?
Yes. Are you all right? Where are we?
We're back on the earth, dear. Somewhere in the jungle.
Flash! Dale!
Yes, Doctor. We're safe among friends.
Thank God.
Amen.
Where is this place called Mongo?
Don't ask me. Ask Dr. Zarkov there.
It is a newly discovered planet. We landed there in a rocket ship and were marooned.
Zarkov, are you the famous Dr. Zarkov who was lost about 2 years ago?
Yes. Somebody still remembers me.
Remembers you, of course. What a sensation when the news gets out. Imagine you're returning.
I'm sorry, but I don't know what this is all about.
Well, it's the most fascinating mystery which will no doubt now be cleared up.
Yes, that's right. It's a long story, but right now we'd like some food and some sleep.
And some decent clothes.
And you shall have all three. My camp is right over there.
Thank you. Are you able to walk, Dale?
Yes. My head aches, but I'll be all right soon.
We are lucky to escape without serious injuries. Or worse.
You are indeed.
Where were you going, Gordon?
Well, that doesn't matter now. But since we're here, we're going to get back to the good old USA as soon as we can.
Well, after you've recovered from your crash, we'll see about getting you to the mainland somehow. You can get a boat from there.
Thanks. You see, Dale and I want to be married as soon as possible. That's why we're in such a hurry to get back to civilization.
I see. Well, of course, that's sort of out of my department, but maybe the Reverend here can fix you up, Gordon.
Oh, will you, Reverend?
Yes. Will you, sir?
Well, that is something that can't be decided in a hurry, my young friend. Suppose you come back to my camp and we'll talk it over.
Be sure to be with us next week at the same time for the next episode of Flash and Jungle Jim. It looks very much like a wedding is to brighten the age-old silence and mystery of the jungle, and of course you don't want to miss that. By the way, how about your poster stamps? Are you cutting them out of the Comic Weekly every Sunday? Well, be sure to get your Comic Weekly next Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper, where you will find another half page of these colored poster stamps drawn by real artists, specially for you. And then next week at the same time, be our guest at a real jungle wedding, which will feature the next chapter in the adventures of Flash and Jungle Jim.
The Adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 19, 1935. Let's hear the conclusion of the story now from this short run of the two characters together on radio from a week later, October 26, 1935.
Presenting the adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim. Last week we met Jungle Jim, gentleman adventurer, down in Malaysia. With him was his faithful man, Kolu. They rescued a missionary, the Reverend Manly Chalmers, from a wildcat and were invited to stay for supper with him and his wife. While they were getting acquainted, there was a terrible crash. Kolu came running with the news that an airship of some kind had landed in the bush. Jungle Jim and the missionary, closely followed by Mrs. Chalmers and Kolu, ran to the wreck. It proved to be the spaceship containing Flash Gordon, Dale Arden, and Dr. Zarkov. After they were revived and it was found that they weren't seriously injured, Flash and Dale asked to be married by the missionary. The Reverend Chalmers declared that such a solemn step could only be taken after due deliberation and led the way back to his camp to discuss the matter. These thrilling adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim are pictured each Sunday in the Big Comic Weekly, the world's greatest pictorial supplement of humor and adventure. For Comic Weekly, each page printed in full colors is distributed everywhere as an integral part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. And now we continue the story. Back at the camp of the Reverend Chalmers and his wife, after supper, Flash pleads his case.
You see, Reverend, Dale and I have been trying to get married for a long time.
Flash and I love each other very much, Mr. Chalmers.
I'm sure you do, Miss Arden. But as I said before, marriage is something that can't be decided in a hurry.
Excuse me, Reverend, but I did decide it in a hurry. The minute I saw Dale sitting across the aisle from me in that transcontinental plane.
And so did I, the minute I saw Flash look at me.
Excuse me for interrupting, Reverend, but I can assure you that never have I seen such true devotion as Flash and Dale bear for each other.
The sincerity of these two young people impresses me greatly, Dr. Sarkov. And what you say adds weight. I know you men of science. Truth is paramount in all things with you.
Science is based on truth, Reverend. No matter who may be benefited or who may be hurt, the truth must at all times be spoken.
Well, sir, what's your verdict?
My earnest young friend, I shall be delighted to perform the ceremony which will make you as one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chalmers.
That's mighty nice of you, sir.
Well, it isn't my party, but I'm delighted myself. This is the first jungle wedding I've witnessed, between white people, I mean.
A jungle wedding? Oh, Flash, how exciting.
It's going to be different from the ceremony we kept looking forward to in Mongo.
I don't care about anything, as long as I have you, Flash.
You darling. And as far as I'm concerned, having you is a darn sight more important than any kingdom ever created.
Oh, my dear.
Excuse me, you two. I hate to break in, but just when is the ceremony going to take place? There's a steamer leaving for the States tomorrow night.
There is?
Yep.
Then why can't we be married tomorrow noon? You can, my dear boy. And then Mrs. Chalmers and I will escort you in our motorboat to the steamer. Won't we, Mary dear?
Of course, Manly.
Oh, that will be wonderful.
Then tomorrow morning, Miss Arden, we'll go through the box of clothing we're taking to the mission and find a wedding outfit for you.
Find something for Dr. Zarkov and me, please, Mrs. Chalmers.
Yes, I surely need it.
Certainly.
Colo and I will build an altar for you in the middle of the jungle.
I'll gather some flowers for my bouquet.
I'll help you, Dale. We'll trim the altar Jim and Colo build.
Well, I'll set up our portable gramophone and dust off the recording of the wedding march.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Not half as gorgeous as you are, Dale.
Thank you. But just think, we couldn't have an altar all trimmed in orchids if we were being married in the States.
That's only too true. Your coronet of gardenias is beautiful.
I thought it was when I made it. And to think all this was had just for the picking.
I wonder what that can be. Jim? Jim?
Hello?
What are those tom-toms for?
Oh, some natives having a powwow.
Say, you're the prettiest bride I ever saw, Miss Arden.
Why, thank you.
For once, Dale can't use the usual feminine reply to a compliment. Oh, these things, heavens, they're old.
I could say that, and it would be true. But I'm grateful to Miss Somebody for them.
As I am to Mr. Somebody for this blue suit and bow tie.
Jim, have you the ring we borrowed from Mrs. Chalmers?
Right here. Keep your shirt on.
Where's Dr. Zarkov and Mr. Chalmers?
Well, Zarkov's getting dressed. The Reverend's setting the gramophone so Mrs. Chalmers can play the wedding march.
All right, Mr. Gordon. I think we're ready. You and Dr. Zarkov will come from the tent, Miss Arden, when the wedding march starts. He's waiting for you.
Well, Miss Arden, when we part again, you'll be Mrs. Flash Gordon.
I can hardly wait.
Well, I guess we can take our places at the altar, gentlemen.
It's funny, sir. This is the thing I've wanted more than anything in my life, marrying Dale. Now I'm more scared to stand in front of that altar and go through the ceremony than I ever was when I rescued her from our enemies in Mongo.
It's the solemnity of the occasion, my dear boy. Now, you and Jungle Jim stand here at my left. That's it. All ready, Mary?
Master Jim! Master Jim!
Well, something's happened. I've never seen Colo so excited.
Wait a minute. Stop the gramophone, please, Mary.
Master Jim, chief of tribe here say no wedding without native wedding. He got warrior all round here.
Oh, so that's what the tom-toms mean. They saw us preparing for this. Do you mind being married a la native first, Flash? It will simplify things.
No, of course not. Dale, come here.
Here come chief to perform ceremony.
What's the matter, Flash?
The natives intend to start trouble if we don't let them marry us for the local ceremony. Do you mind going through with it?
Of course I don't. I think it's thrilling. Our wedding will really be a jungle wedding in more ways than one.
All right, Chief. Shoot. What do we do?
Weini taunga, magataga daraita, ipang pananaga nimawai pabuega, yamo nagasira, et magayen nagapa, ak marua nagapanulot.
What's he saying?
We asked Derek to make a happy union. Give good hunting, and may you have all the things you need for the rest of your lives.
Hold out hands.
What's he going to do?
Anoint Flash's forefinger with coconut oil. See? He's tracing Flash's finger from the tip to the pulse.
Apayat magayen naga balad.
That means, may your good fortune ascend.
Apayat yagamen naga lapay.
And that means,
May your bad fortune descend. And now he goes from the pulse to the tip of the finger. You're next, Miss Arden.
Apayat Magayan Naga Palad. Apayat Yagamen Naga Lapai.
Here, rice to unflash. Missy?
What do we do with these balls of rice?
The chief is making signs for you to exchange them.
Oh. Here, Dale.
And you take this one, Flash.
And now, friends, everything's okay with the chief. You're married.
Is that all there is to it?
Yes, that's all.
Why, it's terribly unimpressive.
Well, that's because it doesn't mean anything to us. Let's really be married now.
Please take your places.
Come, Dale, back to the tent.
All right, Mary. Dearly beloved, we are gathered together here in the sight of God and in the face of his company to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, which is commended in holy scripture to be honorable among men and therefore not to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, advisedly, and soberly in the fear of God. Into this holy estate, these two persons present come now to be joined. If any man can show just cause why they may not be lawfully joined together, let him now speak, or else hereafter forever hold his peace. Who giveth this woman to be married to this man?
I do.
Flash Gordon, wilt thou have this woman to thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her, so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
Dale Arden, wilt thou have this man to thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou obey him and serve him, love, honor, and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him, so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
The ring. Flash, place the ring on Dale's finger and repeat after me.
With this ring,
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
And with all my worldly good.
And with all my worldly good.
I thee endow.
I thee endow.
Let us pray. O eternal God, creator and preserver of all mankind, giver of all spiritual grace, the author of everlasting life, send thy blessing upon these thy servants, this man and this woman, whom we bless in thy name, that as Isaac and Rebekah live faithfully together, so these persons may surely perform and keep the vow and covenant betwixt them made, whereof this ring given and received is a token and pledge, and may ever remain in perfect love and peace together, and live according to thy laws. Amen. Those whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. For as much as Flash and Dale have consented together in holy wedlock, and have witnessed the same before God and this company, and thereto have pledged their troth, each to other, and have declared the same by giving and receiving a ring, and by joining hands, I pronounce they are man and wife. You may kiss your bride.
Dale, dearest, wife.
Flash, darling, at last I can call you husband.
This has been the most beautiful wedding I have ever seen in the field, Mrs. Gordon. Allow me to wish you every happiness.
Thank you.
I don't need to tell Mr. Gordon that he's a very lucky man.
Indeed you don't, sir. Nor the happiest man in the world,
for I know I am.
And please accept my good wishes. You deserve the best of everything.
Say, folks, I don't want to be left out. Mrs. Gordon, all happiness to you.
Thank you.
My congratulations, Flash.
Thanks very much. You've been awfully kind to us, Jim. Dale and I will never forget you.
I should say not. And when you come back to the United States, you must come and see us.
Thank you, ma'am. I sure will. And speaking of the States, I don't want to hurry you, but...
Bless my soul. We'd better be getting started if you want to make the steamer. Are you all ready?
Yes. We're going with just the clothes we have on our backs, thanks to your people back home.
Come on. Let's get into the motorboat.
This old Prince Albert could be a little looser, but it's very dressy looking, don't you think?
You look terribly distinguished, Dr. Zarka.
Oh, thank you, Dale.
Well, since the charmers are taking us to the steamer, I guess there's just you and Colo to say goodbye to, Jim.
Wish you were coming to see us off.
Well, we might if there'd been room, but it's just as well parting now. We can say it all here. And Colo and I better be getting back to that camp of ours, if there's any camp left.
You're right, Boss Jim. Maybe river pirates set fire camp while we're gone.
Flash, hurry. We're waiting.
Coming, dear. Well, so long, Jim. Thanks for everything.
That's okay, Flash. Good luck to you.
Goodbye, Colo.
Goodbye, Tuan Flash.
Hurry up, Flash.
Farewell. Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.
There go Mission Tuan boat. Downriver against sun.
Yes, Colo. There goes Mission Tuan's boat. You know, Flash Gordon's a great fellow. Maybe we'll see him again sometime. Well, I wonder what's going to happen to us next, Colo.
Be sure and be with us next week at this same time for the beginning of a long series of thrilling adventures with Jungle Jim. Each week, the Comic Weekly, distributed everywhere with the Hearst Sunday newspapers, reproduces Jungle Jim in full-color action pictures. Get acquainted with this sterling adventurer and with Colo, his man Friday. See pictured for you by a famous artist all the leading characters as well as the natives, the wild animals, and the many queer forms of vegetation in the steaming jungle which forms the background to these thrilling adventures way down at the southernmost tip of Asia.
The Adventures of Flash Gordon and Jungle Jim on Tuned to Yesterday from October 26, 1935. With the conclusion of that story, the program would change its name the following week to The Adventures of Jungle Jim. And that brings to a close this hour of continuing series on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.